Languages die when children stop learning them naturally. But a language can be revived. The biggest example is Hebrew, which hadn't really been spoken for centuries, but is now Israel's primary language. One reason Hebrew could be brought back is that it had been documented, which brings us to Kiowa.
There are only a few dozen speakers, and some people would even estimate fewer, and a lot of them are in their 80s and 90s.
Andrew McKenzie teaches linguistics at the University of Kansas. He was also born into the Kiowa tribe. It's small, about 12,000 members, and they're pretty spread out around the country, but most of the native speakers are out in southwestern Oklahoma.
It wasn't until you could see it slipping away that people started saying, oh, we should start doing something. And that's a story you see languages all over the world. It's not often until a late stage that preservation efforts are seen as required.
He says Kiowa is extra challenging because it has peculiar sounds.
These popped sounds like and. Or the other one is the sound of popped K and A, which has an ejective affricate. So it's not just S, but
You really have to watch your tone.
The example that struck linguists the most is the difference between aho, which is thank you, and aho, which means kill him.
Kiowa speakers just knew these things because, like many native languages, it had no written tradition. That was until McKenzie's own great-grandfather started working on it nearly a century ago. That's a recording of Parker McKenzie. He spent most of his very long life working on a Kiowa alphabet. Andrew McKenzie grew up in the suburbs outside of Oklahoma City, but when he went out to western Oklahoma to visit, Parker wouldn't let him leave until he'd learned a little Kiowa.
He had a chalkboard in his living room.
He loved the chalkboard. Gus Palmer is now a retired linguistics professor at the University of Oklahoma. He remembers meeting Parker McKenzie in the 1980s when he worked in an office serving elderly Kiowas.
One day, this little man came walking through the door, had on a hat and a briefcase, and he looked like a businessman. I thought, wow, this is an interesting Kiowa. He walked up to me, introduced himself, and lo and behold, he was writing Kiowa. He put it on a chalkboard, and I was completely amazed. I thought, oh my gosh, I struck on something very exciting. This is a gold mine.
For his writing system, Parker McKenzie used the English alphabet because he wanted to be able to type it. But he swapped out some letters for sounds that Kiowa has but English doesn't. It looks sort of like English in code. Other people came up with different Kiowa writing systems, and the tribe has never decided which one is official. Antonia Hudson is a Kiowa, but learned the language at the University of Oklahoma, the Parker McKenzie way.
Right now we have a lot of Kiowas across the country who are members of the tribe, and they know nothing about it. And so when they look up the Kiowa tribe, the language is the first thing that is interesting to the younger generation because we don't speak like any other people.
Hudson now helps teach the language at community classes in Tulsa.
I believe a younger generation wants that sense of identity. They want to make that connection to who they are and who their people are. And right now, it's also a connection to who their people were.
Andrew McKenzie just got a grant from the National Science Foundation and the National Endowment for the Humanities to write a book about Kiowa grammar and to make teaching tools like games and flashcards. In a very practical sense, he's continuing his great-grandfather's work. I'm CJ Janovy.